Right.
I was listening to Joyce Myers this morning. And she said, if there's anything you want, ask God for it. And if it fits your purpose, he'll give it yes. So I prayed. And it'd be wonderful still for my vision, to get my vision back, you know, right. And I ended up scared, I loved the end of it. And he called to me to go into the bedroom. Close the door behind me and say, Lord, pray. So when I said the Lord Prayer, then I come back into the living room again. And I went and stood at the window, looking so wonderful, wasn't it? And I'd turn me back to come back, and above my head, and God spoke to me, said, go and wash your face in River Jordan. I said, I'm not going to get there. I'll never get there, I won't. I said to him, well, it's dirty. Dirty river. He said, when you get there, it'll be cleansed. And that's what he said. I said, so, I asked him, I took him to River Jordan, and when do you get this? I won't even get there. He said, you will. So I don't know. You can provide a way some road and all that. Mm-hmm. You've got a washing face in River Jordan, he says. Is that where the leper, he got washed, didn't he?
Aye.
Yeah. Have to get a trip up.
Yeah, we'll all go to River Jordan.
You won't fly, will you?
No, but it's not a joke, that. When God speaks to you, it's no joke. It's not, it's true. It's
faith and trust in God.
To go to the River Jordan.
Faith and trust in God.
Yes.
Tested. Your testing time.
You could get a trip up. 1, 2, 3.
You know, when God speaks, you know it's no joke. And you take it in, you sink in.
They do package.
Get some discount.
So they do package tours to Israel and Sarits.
We're going to put me out of the Jordan when I get in.
Don't chop me down.
It's usually it's usually part of a trip to visit the River Jordan.
Yeah, it is.
That's when he said it. He don't tell lies, don't he? Means it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there been an experience when it comes to you? He spoke to you.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
God
hasn't
spoken to me yet. I'm not sure if I've had God talking to me or not. I think I have. It's going to sound a bit confusing, this, but just now you've said that, Edwin, I might as well share it, because for the last since Christmas and that, I've been going through a bit of a rough time with one thing and another. And over the last few weeks, all I've had in my mind is, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I told Andrew last week that I kept saying it. And you know, this Sunday, I felt as if God was saying, I felt like he was, as I've said, slapping me in a nice way, saying it more pronounced, and said, Christine, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, and I want you to study what that means. And I feel as if I feel as though he wants me to study that scripture, the whole of it, and understand that power, that love and a sound mind, what them three things mean. And he said, do you really know what that means? And you've got to act on that. I want you to act on it. And that's what I feel in my heart, and that I wanted to share with you, because I thought, well, you could perhaps help me understand the scripture, understand. Because I know it's from sort of Timothy, and I've been reading that and reading this, and it's more understandable in this. But I sort of thought, if you could help me out and let's try and figure it. I'm not sure if he wants to tell us all it, or whether it's because of my situation, and I don't know. But I just feel as if he's really, really slapped me and said, I want you to understand this and I want you to live on that. As if he's really given me a strict order. Have you looked in other translations?
Well,
I've just looked in this one because this is the one I've...
It is in Timothy, is it?
Yeah, but I mean, in here it says, God didn't give us a cowardly spirit, but a spirit of power, love and good judgment. And I don't think it's much firing at me saying that, but I feel like forgiveness as well. It's like you've got to forgive. And this love, it's all a part. You've got to love people, even if, and I'm understanding all this. And me and my mum were talking about this today, weren't we?
Oh yeah, we've had a session this afternoon.
And about sort of forgiveness and love and how. And you know, it's going to sound a bit daft, this, but all I can say is, all I can say is, I know what you sort of say, that walking in the light, you walk in the light with God, and you walk in the dark with Satan. And it just, something hit me today, and that's why you always say to us, I mean, you could be crying, you could be upset over something, but you've got to speak God's word with faith and with, because in that way, you see, because Satan can't contact us through the spirit, can only do it through flesh. So if we're walking negativity and crying, God cannot get in because it's dark. He can't come anywhere near because it's dark, because he can't look at negativity and all that.
I would still say God's speaking.
No, I mean when you do negative, when you speak. This is what I was sort of getting today. When you think you're feeling negative, you act.
You listen to the wrong voice.
You're listening to the wrong voice. If you're negative and upset over something, that's why you've got to speak God's word, because that is spirit. That is what will help you. I'm trying to understand it in best.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, I've not really. It sounds quite simple, but. It's like today I've really kind of had to understand what that means, and I'm not understanding it in probably the right way that you could explain it. Because Satan acts in darkness, and he will, whatever, put anything to make you negative against you, that's what he'll do. And if you act negative and respond to that, that's, you're feeding him, aren't you? That's what I'm trying to sort of say.
Yeah. Have a look in the message. You've got the message, haven't
you?
Yeah,
well, I have looked in the message as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
What's the scripture reference, Christine? Is it 1 or 2
one,
Timothy?
Two Timothy 1:7.
Yeah.
I'll have a look at home.
That word power is dunamis, which is what we get dynamite from. And love is the agape love.
Mm. Yeah, it's just that. I just felt like he'd really, like Edwin said, I just feel like he's really spoke to me on it, and I said, I want you to study that, know
well,
what it means,
that,
and act on it.
And ask the Holy Spirit to give you the enlightenment, and he will, because he's the teacher, and he knows exactly how to get through to you. And I really think you need to just meditate on it, chew it, keep saying it over and over.
Well, on Sunday, I felt like it was so... pronounced, it was so, he kept saying it, it's like as if it was just there saying it all the time. And he says, no matter what, he says, you will always have the devil chipping away at you. You will always have him chipping away at you. Chip, 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 chip.
You just need to ignore it.
And it would be really kind of quite profound.
Joyce Meyer spoke on love and forgiveness, and there was no more. And she spoke, this little lad looking in the shop window, and he had no shoes on. You have to put on a pair of shoes, he told this one lady. She invited him in. So he got a bundle of socks, she put a pair of socks on, bundled others up. Then she gave these shoes, put these shoes on, and she said, that's love.
Mm.
And also, when I turned to this is pure gold. Yeah, 4 and 5, behold, is it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Then there's Isaiah.
He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Yes, yeah, message. Really powerful words, these.
They are.
Yeah.
They are, Edwin.
was that Christ, well, oh, that Christ may
dwell in your hearts by faith.
Yeah. Yeah, I finished. Sorry. Sorry, no. Rolling you up.
Yeah, sorry.
I'll do some digging.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you don't get questions answered unless you ask them.
No, you don't. That's right.
Simple as that, isn't it?
Yep.
So, obviously tonight we are continuing with how to prepare ourselves for prayer and fasting, and also we're going to talk about what it will do for us and what it will do for the work of God and how it will affect our lives as well.
Yeah.
And even on what you've just been asking, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this is for something for you to read later, Christine, and to ponder on.
Yeah.
To 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I'll start at tonight just for reference. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That's the devil, he's chipping away.
Yeah.
And Satan wants to bring you and me down as individuals.
Yeah.
He can't do it in one foul swoop. He has to, because the power of God that is within us is far greater,
yes,
than the power of the devil.
Yeah.
And so he has to, well, you don't chop a tree down with one swipe of an axe, do you?
No, you don't.
You've got to keep going at it, haven't you? And you get to a point where you weaken it and you bring it to a point where you can knock it over.
Mm.
But then that's what the enemy seeks to do with everybody's,
yeah,
life.
Mm.
And so, verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed.
Amen.
Always carrying about us, about in the body, the dying of Christ.
Mm.
That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Can you see where we're going?
Yeah.
Where we're going with this?
Yeah.
For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, now this is it, spirit, the same spirit of faith, it's the same spirit that, well, I'll hold off that one, the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. So, that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you.
Amen.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
That same spirit. There isn't two spirits. God is one spirit.
Mm.
And that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, when he was totally dead, when he was held captive in hell, and then God spoke, the Spirit of God spoke, it raised Christ Jesus,
amen,
from the dead. That same spirit dwells in each and every one, mm, of us. It's part of our portion.
Yeah.
We're not of a different spirit.
No.
If we were, we would be anti-God.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so your question about spiritual things, it's that Spirit of God that is speaking to you. And that's, I'll tell you how wonderfully it works and has worked in this church in time past, and that leadership in particular I can speak of, they've been asked to go away and pray about some things and come back the next week with an answer. And I set them a task, in particular one time, to go away and pray about. God had spoken to me in a meeting, and we had to give a fairly sizable offering to help a Bible college, buy a building for a Bible college in the Philippines. And I thought, wow, that's a big amount. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you to tell every member of the leadership team how much. So I sent them away that week, and we came back the following week, and I had spoken to nobody about the matter. And Ken, he's an accountant. So Ken will always give you an answer that involves some form of equation, some mathematical conversion, and etc., etc. And so he has to give me the full explanation. So I have to wait, and then I get my answer and say, okay, thank you very much. And I went round at that time, the seven members of the leadership, and I went round each and every one of them separately and asked them for the amount. And they all had different ways of getting to the number that they gave me. They all came at it from different angles, from different viewpoints, etc. As I said, Ken uses mathematical equations that God speaks to him through, and so that was his delivery. And when we'd finished, I pulled them all together. I said, right, now we need to just talk about this. And that the same figure was given to all seven of the leadership, and not one of them had spoken to the other all week. That same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of us. And when you come to church, and when you are in that same spirit, when that same spirit has got hold of you and is indwelling in you, we come to church, and you will see, and you have seen, how meetings start off. And 2 weeks ago, Graham read a scripture, and it happened to be exactly where I was going with my ministry that day, and nobody knew what I was preaching on, because I never ring up whoever's leading and say, oh, by the way, I'm preaching on this. I can't ever remember doing it.
Well, nobody knew I was leading that week anyway.
Well, I didn't know you were leading. I had no idea who was leading. So, but that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, when he dwells in you, he speaks with one voice. He says the same thing. He is not contradictory.
No.
He's not argumentative, but it is that same spirit. And this is where we have to learn to tune into the Spirit of God. And you will learn that you will hear in the meetings, you will see the flow of the meeting. And as you see that and begin to realise that that's where I was going this week, you will know. But now you're beginning to hear that same spirit. That's going to be one of your confirmations. But the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead does dwell in us. Now we have to give him room, we have to give him opportunity to speak to us. That same spirit wants to give you life and not death.
Amen.
That same spirit wants to bring deliverance and freedom into your life, not captivity. And that same spirit that wants to bless you and not curse you. And so these are the blessings that are from God when that same spirit dwells in us. And things begin to happen and it changes our lives. So when you're looking at Scripture, when you're looking at the Holy Spirit, he needs to be saying the same thing.
Yeah.
There needs to be there has to be confirmation. He never argues and disagrees with the Word of God. He confirms what the Word of God says. And the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. One Spirit, one God, one Saviour, one Lord. There's no divisions about this. They're of the same Spirit, but they themselves are different facets, different activities of that same Spirit. See, Jesus is not a separate Spirit to God. Neither is the Holy Spirit a separate spirit to Jesus. They're of that same spirit, the Spirit of God. But they have different functions. And same in the church. The church, it talks in Psalm 133, verse 3, when the brethren dwell together in unity, one spirit, that same spirit, when they dwell together in that same spirit, their God commands the blessing, life forevermore. So it's that same spirit. And so we have to realize that God is right through from the beginning of time to eternity. It is that one spirit. Different facets of the spirit, but all going in that same direction, hearing that same voice, going to that same rhythm and beat of the Spirit of God. Does that help?
Yes.
Good. See? The answers are all there. And as we flow together in the things of God, we shall see greater things happening. We shall see greater miracles than what we've already seen, and we shall see more healings, and we shall see things changing. And there is a warfare.
Yeah.
The enemy seeks constantly to attack.
Mm, it does.
And in trying to find different ways into our lives.
Mm.
And they are subtle.
Yeah.
In some cases, it can be the company that we keep.
Oh, yeah.
In some cases, it can be what we watch on TV.
Yeah.
It can, in some cases, it can be what we're looking at on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it can be drink, drugs. It can be all these things will have an effect on us. What we read.
Yeah.
I spoke to somebody recently, and something that they read dramatically affected their faith.
Mm.
Now, what does that say? That says one simple thing, that person at that point in time, their faith was not yet strong enough and ready to read that book. Now, I remember one time I got a book that it arrived at our warehouse. I don't know where it came from. It just arrived. And it was a book on trying to deny the existence of God. And I had people say, oh, you don't want to read that rubbish, etc. Well, I did just the opposite. And what it did for me, and it won't do this for everybody, let me tell you, but what it did for me, where they were trying to disprove the existence of God and to be negative about God, caused me to see the opposite side in a different light. It actually gave me a different exposure to what I was already believing. It gave me another aspect and a viewpoint that I'd never looked at from that. And all it did for me was to actually strengthen my faith, strengthen my trust and belief in God. But there's some people who would read it and it would knock their faith sideways.
Mm.
And so there are times when you're like, I'm not ready to read that book. That's fine. Because you're not, because it's a growing stage. Isn't it? You know about a growing stage. You know? And sometimes we grow, in some areas we grow slower than others. I would like us all, wouldn't it be great if we could all suddenly just go zap and be at the same point in the same, you know? It would be fantastic, wouldn't it? But it's not going to happen. It isn't going to happen. And so this is where we give time, and this is why it talks about encouraging one another in faith. In the faith of God, right? And so I will challenge you to encourage your faith. That's all I'm challenging you for. I'm going to challenge your faith to encourage your faith, because when you challenge your faith, it gives it the ability to stand and to make that decision. And it's like, the word says iron sharpens iron. So I'm going to challenge your faith for one reason, so that iron sharpens iron, because you are made of the iron of God. I mean, I've preached in the past, I've preached on subjects, and I've seen people sit in congregation and look at me and think, he's gone off his trolley. He's absolutely off it this time. He's way out. And it's like, and I've seen it. And I can do one or two things. I can go and sit down after service and debate it with them. Well, I'm wasting my time, because they've already clouded the mind. I've already caused them a problem. So the best thing to do is hand it over to God and let God begin to sort it out them. Because it's up to God. You know, if you disagree with me, then you better go and see God about it first.
Oh, yeah.
See God about it first and get in the Word. and then come back. And I continued with this subject that I was preaching. And I think it was a couple of weeks later that I suddenly, as I was preaching, I suddenly noticed that this person, their countenance had changed. They'd had a revelation. But not through me. They'd gone and had to pray and seek God and get the revelation, because that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead should dwell in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
And that's where, when you bring in the fact, and the Holy Spirit shall teach you. There's a truth in that, but we've sometimes overused that to the point people say, I don't need you to tell me anything, the Holy Spirit will teach me. Well, that's when you suddenly found out that that person's got an unteachable spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit will never be able to teach them, because the Holy Spirit uses vessels as well as. Mm. You see? And so, but there are people who will use that scripture as, I don't need anybody to teach me anything. Well, let me tell you this, you'll never learn anything, because when you went to school, you needed school teachers to teach you something. You just didn't go to school and sit in a classroom and suddenly that became, I've been to school, man. That don't fix you, does it?
You're never too old to learn.
No, that's true, Edwin. You're never too old to learn. We are constantly learning what God is wanting to teach us. The Word of God, said to you before, the Word of God is not just pages, letters on a page. It's not a flat page. This has multi dimensions. I'm not going to say it's three dimensional, because I don't believe it is. It's multi dimensional. You take a diamond, and you know, if you look at a well-cut diamond, you will see many different colours as you turn it around in the light. It's the same light, it's the same diamond, but when you turn it around, it brings out different colours in it. But yet it's the same light and the same diamond. So there's something different, and it's the angle of which it's being looked at. They're called diamonds like that, they're multifaceted. So the Word of God is multifaceted, right? It's not just 3D. There are more dimensions to it than you and I know about yet. And God wants you and I to see the Word of God multifaceted, so that we see the different lights, we see the different things that God is trying to bring to us through the Word. And that leads me on to the fact that prayer and fasting
are important.
Are very important, Tracy, yeah. And prayer and fasting actually will draw you and I closer to God, will draw us closer to the mind of God, will draw us closer to the Spirit of God, and will cause us to hear what God is wanting to say to us more clearly. So prayer and fasting is a multitask. It has many things that it will produce in our lives as we allow it. Now we should be on page 4 of the notes, and the title is how to prepare yourself spiritually and physically. You see, prayer and fasting is not about just simply going without food. I know I keep repeating this, but so many people think that prayer and fasting is about going without food. It's not just about going without food. It's about replacing the time that you spent preparing food, the time that you spent eating food, and using that time as prayer and reading the Word of God and spending time with God. In other words, what you're doing is the time that you would use normally, you're saving that time and you're putting that towards your spiritual life and your spiritual growth. Because you have to grow spiritually. Otherwise you will be a babe. The Bible says you are babes in the faith. But in Corinthians it talks about you becoming mature. And that we need to grow up and be mature, so that when we become mature, we shall see God face to face. Yeah. Now, when we're seeing God face to face, we're not seeing him physically, because God is not a physical being. God is a spiritual being. But we have to grow spiritually, that we would see God spiritually.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
You see, you and I, again, we're thinking 3D.
Yeah.
That's all the world's thinking, isn't it, these days? 3D TV, you know.
Yeah.
Who wants to wear another pair of glasses on top of ones I'm already having to wear? I'm sorry, it just ain't going to work, is it? You know,
no.
Forget it. Yeah. But the world is, you know, the world is now mad focused on 3D. Everything's 3D. Yeah, you're 3D, aren't you? You look at somebody and you're three-dimensional, basically. The building is three-dimensional. Everything's 3D. Well, let me tell you this. God is far, far more than 3D.
Amen.
It says you can't plumb the depths of God's word. You cannot get to the bottom of it. It goes on and on and on. And so God wants you to realise that what you're used to seeing and what you're used to understanding, he's beyond all of that.
Amen.
It's far greater than 3D. And he wants you involved. You know, they talk about 3D TV and you feel as if you're involved. Yeah, right, okay. Well, not really, are you? Come on, let's be. God actually wants you to be involved in the realm of the things of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the things that are going to help us to get involved, part of that is prayer and fasting, because you are about preparing yourself, you're preparing this body, and you're preparing your spirit. You're allowing your spirit to grow. You're giving it room to grow and to develop. I've heard people say, oh, I don't need to pray and fast. Well, I think you're wrong. And I've heard people say, oh, you know, I went without food years ago, and so I'll never fast. I've done all my fasting. Well, you see, your fasting was enforced upon you, and it was done in a wrong motive, and it wasn't fasting to seek God.
No.
See, there's a difference. There's a difference. And as I say, even today, people will fast, but they don't seek God. They use the term fasting, but they're not using that time to spend time with God. Now, fasting, as we've said before, can be a fact where you from daylight to maybe sundown, you go without food. And you spend that time when you were preparing and eating food, spending time in the Word of God. So what you're doing is, you're saying to your body, do as you're told. You're applying some discipline to the 3D. Right? To your physical body. You're applying physical discipline, mental discipline, and spiritual discipline to it. And then what you're doing is then you're saying, right, I know the fact, the Bible says that you are made of spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, if you feed your mind, your soul, on the wrong things, it will dominate you.
Yeah.
If you feed your body on the wrong things, it'll dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a get at anybody, but if you feed your body on either drink, drugs, and things like that, then that is what will dominate you. We know that when we work in Teen Challenge with young men and women that we see. We see the domination that it has. Today I've been with somebody who's not a young person, who is actually being dominated by alcohol.
Yeah.
And every time something gets a bit difficult, they go and grab a few bottles.
Yeah.
Six bottles of vodka and down six bottles of vodka.
Oh dear.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
I
was
wondering, don't kill them.
Six in a day? Not six in a day, sure.
Oh, yeah, six in a day.
In a day?
Oh. That is a lot.
Now, let me tell you this, you know. I said to them today, I said, you know, when things get tough, I said, you turn to a bottle, you think this is going to change anything tomorrow? It doesn't. Still the same, except, actually, what has happened is, six bottles of vodka, what's that going to be? And some whiskey as well, four or five bottles of whiskey. What's that going to be, 50-odd quid?
Mm-hmm.
So you're 50-odd quid in debt.
350 a week,
so if you carry on that sort of direction, not long before you've got nothing at all, is there? So, It is about putting your body in order, putting your mind in order, so that the spirit will begin to take responsibility and direct you, and that you will be directed by the Spirit of God. Because that same Spirit, God's Spirit, dwells in you. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Saviour, that same Spirit dwells in you. But when it begins to dwell, it has to then be given room, it has to be allowed to rule and reign in your life. There's a warfare going on right now in your life and in my life.
Oh yeah.
Your thinking at times it stings.
Yeah.
Because I'll guarantee you think anti-God. Yeah. Now some of you have been Christians a while, say, oh, I don't. Well, you just wait. Sometime this week you'll find out God will put his finger on it now, I've said it, that you think anti-God.
It's true.
And you'll suddenly realise. I once said in church one time, I said about somebody, about that, you know, you'll disagree with me on some of the spiritual things. And this person said to themselves, I won't. What did they just do? They just disagreed with me. Don't say you won't, because you will.
Yeah.
The challenge is to...
Yeah.
I know. Hey, don't, I see it as well. But I don't let it faze me. Because I'm not going to argue with you. My responsibility is to present what I believe God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to us. And then your responsibility is, if you're struggling with it, is you're to take it away and begin to pray over it and study into it. Because that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will dwell in you. He will begin to reveal the truth. And I'm not saying I know all the truth, because I've said to the leadership in the past, if I'm wrong, then you'll have a responsibility to say so. You have a responsibility to challenge me and to talk to me about that point. And I have at one time, I said something in church, it's a long time ago now, and I remember God saying to me a few days later, that's wrong, Andrew. And I had to come back to church the next week and say, oh, by the way, I said, and I can't remember what I said, it's that long ago now. And God's told me I'm wrong. And if I think I've got something wrong, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to hide it.
No.
I'm going to come back and tell you, hey, do you know what? I got that wrong. What that does, people say, well, don't that make you, won't people sort of think less of you? No, I'm hoping that people will trust me more, because I'm prepared to say, I was wrong. I found out some further light, some further inspiration, but I was wrong. So I'm here to correct that as well. Because none of us should have an unteachable spirit.
No.
The moment that you become unteachable, you've lost it. You've really lost it. Because
you can never be wrong, that's why you're unteachable.
Exactly right, Bill, that's right. That's so true. If you're never wrong, you've got an unteachable spirit. Definitely. You want, Edwin?
I get it wrong often at times.
Well, you know, we all make a few mistakes, but the fact that God wants to minister to each and every one of us, and he wants to bless us, and so God is looking for a teachable spirit. Now, if we struggle at times, prayer and fasting will assist us, because again, we're putting to death the flesh. We're putting to death the works of the flesh, and the things of the flesh, and the things of our mind. You see, the media knows, advertising knows the power of the media, the ability to change your thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's why they spend so much money advertising, because they know that advertising, the media that they use, the influence of TV will change your buying patterns. And you have to be strong in your mind to resist. Now, Bill, for instance, he even started off, just generally talking about how he got these SD cards. And then him buying these, ended up his sister buying a skirt, you see. And so the process can go on. like that, that suddenly you got, he's bought this, oh, I've just seen that. Whether it's a fact that because you've bought something, I'm going to buy something, that happens with people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they bought something. Oh, I ought to buy something then, didn't I? And then somebody else, oh, I think I better buy something if I've come as well. And so, because I can't be the odd one out and go away and having bought nothing.
Josh Mayer's words. She's spoken a few times tonight, she has.
So, we need to be strengthened in our mind, and the only way we're strengthened in our mind is when the Spirit of God is taking control.
Yeah. Well, the best thing you did last week for me and my mum is fetch these.
Well, yeah, we couldn't believe
we
how
couldn't
this
believe
happened.
It, how it happened. Because yeah. You know when things happen, as soon as I looked at it and I've took it home, I thought, I need this bag, I need it, I've got to have this. So my mum's got one. And it...
So it was a good job you couldn't get one of them others.
It's just how it works.
It's working with both of us together, yeah. Because we're together a lot, and we were this afternoon.
Yeah, we were reading this, and she's got the same.
We can work together a couple of hours, won't we?
Yeah, we were.
What,
yeah.
What is that? Is that message?
It's God's word. It's called. It was a translation.
Yeah, it's smashing. I love it.
Quite a while actually. It's been. It's slightly better than. It's a better translation than the Good News, and it's a simpler understanding than the NIV.
I just feel that God's really speaking to me through this. I can feel Him in it.
That's fine.
What I feel.
I mean, the thing is, I don't enjoy the message. I mean, I enjoyed what Graham read the other Sunday, but generally speaking, I don't enjoy the message. I don't enjoy the NIV. I must be honest, I don't enjoy the NIV. The NIV I find is more difficult to read. I was brought up on King James. The transfer I've made is I've made to the New American Standard because that runs fairly close to it. I've never gone on to the New King James, and again, there's not really much wrong with them, but I read from this, and I've got this particular Bible, and I cherish it, and I look after it very carefully, and it is only used on sort of Sundays and Wednesdays. It's getting old, this one. I use a lot of other Bibles. I'll read a New Revised Standard at home, or a King James. I'll read anything, basically. But when I come to preach, I always use this New American Standard. I might make notes from it. It's the way it's designed. It just the size. I just like it. It's my Bible, yeah. and it's me.
The only one I can't get on with is the Amplified.
It's too wordy.
You get all them alternative words in brackets. It knocks me off my concentration. I have to try and read it again and skip past those brackets.
Yeah.
You see, probably we're all different.
We are all different. That's right.
It's a different level.
Exactly. That's
so
fine.
So probably. And what suits one doesn't suit another.
It is good to have different translations because you get different thoughts and aspects coming out. Same with study Bibles. I have different study Bibles. It doesn't matter what version they're written in. And I don't always agree with the notes, but there are notes in there that give you that extra bit of inspiration or some extra insight that then you can work on and develop. Let's get back to the subject. That same Spirit... It's preparing yourself spiritually and physically for fasting.
Yeah.
For fasting to be a success, you have to prepare yourself for it. Mm. You can't just suddenly say, I'm going to fast tomorrow. And it's a preparation. Why are you fasting? What reasons are you fasting for? Those are important. Otherwise, you're running around or you're praying around with not really a goal, a direct goal in your life. You know, what are you praying for? Why are you fasting? What do you want to? What are you looking to achieve in your life? Some thought, well, just you want to be able to say, well, I fasted for 3 days. Oh, great. And what did God say to you during that period of 3 days? Well, we're only fasting. It's not being done right because we need to give God an opportunity. Okay. So, let's have a look. Spiritual preparation. Not got very far, have we?
Well, excuse me, we're at 9 o'clock. I've got a taxi book for 9, so okay. You carry on with the word.
That's fine.
If I want to run him, I'll let you run him.
Spiritual preparation. In preparation for this time with God, I strongly urge you to examine your heart and detect any unconfessed sin. Scripture records that God always requires his people to repent of their sins before he will hear their prayers. Okay? So what is it saying there? What we're saying is that when we come to that point of praying and fasting, we have to first examine ourselves. If you read Psalm 51, where David has been challenged by the prophet Nathaniel and has been exposed as the man who was a killer, a deceiver, an adulterer, etc., and so on. And David writes this psalm after the death of his son and after this exposure. And he writes in there, "Create in me, O God, a clean heart." Yeah, you got it. "Create in me, O God, a clean heart, and put a new and right spirit within me." So, you're saying, create a clean heart in me. So, prepare me to receive something. When you're cleaning something, you're preparing to receive something. "Create in me a clean heart, and put a new and right spirit within me." So, there David is saying, "Lord, clean me out. Clean out my heart, clean out my motivation, clean out my desires, clean out my focus. The centre of my life, sort it out, God, and then when you've cleaned it out, put something in it." Mm. Don't leave it empty. Don't leave it empty. Right? And so, because if you leave it empty, the devil will come and fill it with some junk.
Exactly. Yeah.
That is a certainty.
Yeah.
Fill it with junk. Mm. And so David, you know, clarifies this and saying, "God, create in me a clean heart. God, and put in me a new and right spirit within me." So when he's cleaned us out, we need to be putting something from the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, into our lives, because that is what is going to give us power. That is what is going to give us authority. That is what is going to give us victory over our temptations, over sins, over circumstances that come against us. That's what brings us victory. Not your mind. It's not your thinking. You need your mind cleaning. That's why we always quote this one at some time during the month at least. Don't we? Romans 12.
Verse 1, 2,
right through 3. You know, renew our minds. And the only way you renew your mind is by letting the Word of God fill you and cleanse you and refresh you. Because the world is constantly bombarding your mind with information.
Oh, yeah.
Advertising is always bombarding your mind. They're going to get some money off you somehow. You know, this is the best washing powder that they've ever made. So all that stuff they've sold you before has been a load of rubbish. But yet they said it were fantastic. But today they've just, you know, said they've come up with something that's fantastic. Whiter than whites. So what were your whites before? Grey. You know, but they lied to you and said they were white.
You don't want to believe these days.
Exactly. But all they're wanting to do is they want to take from you. Advertising is not wanting to give you anything. Right? It wants to take from you. Wants to take and you wants you to spend.
It tempts you as well, doesn't it, if they're showing chocolate?
Well, you see, the Bible says, "Yield not to temptation," you see.
Yeah, it does though, doesn't it? Makes you think about it. Have I got any chocolate?
But you see, for you and me, the devil tries to tempt you in other ways, in other areas as well as. And so we need to be spiritually strong that says, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go down that way."
Amen.
You know, sometimes you might feel you're right and you think you're going to tell somebody exactly that because, you know, it's time they heard the truth. I've thought that a few times.
Yeah, we all have.
We're
yeah.
a few people, you know. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. God says to me, don't bother. You haven't got that much spare. So, you know, just don't bother. You know, just leave them. Hand them over to God. Pray about it. Pray and fast about the situation and get on with it. So here we realise that you and I, you will, God, as we start to pray and fast, God will reveal to us there's something in your life that you're doing, that you're thinking, or that you've done, and you need to deal with it. Well, that's when you start to deal with it. Don't say, I'll put it off for another day. No, start the process. And it might not be dealt with straight away. It could be something that God is working a process through with you, so that, you know, you just don't clean through a whole house in one day, do you? I started tidying my study out. I thought, dear Lord, I'd spent 2 days on it. Pulled a pile of junk out of it and looked and thought, where have I been? It still looks as nearly as bad, and you think, where did all this come from? And it just seems like you gather stuff, don't you? Or it gathers you, whatever. And so there's that preparation. You've got to work at these things, and as you work at it, you will see God directing you. As you pray and fast, God will direct you to the target point where he wants you to deal with things. You see, for you and I to be effective in the church, to be effective witnesses, to be effective in prayer, to be effective in a healing ministry, whatever it happens that God has for you to do, for you and I to be effective, prayer and fasting is part of that, because prayer and fasting will empower you
yeah.
in that area of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Prayer and fasting is not about weakening you, it's about strengthening you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that seems an odd, because there seem to be two opposites, because if you go without food, you get a bit weaker to some degree. But the fact is, you're weakening the flesh at that time, so that the spirit has a greater ruling and reigning in your life. When you give your life to Jesus, we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and take control. And in the first few weeks, we think it's all wonderful. And then after a while, we think, I'm not sure about this. Now. Can I have a drive, God? I want to go down here. And you've just gone off the path.
Yeah.
You've got to be put on goal.
And you think, and then after a while you go through, you bump a few things and smash a thing, few things, and knock a few things over, and then you suddenly realise, oh, what's God done this for? Well, God, you took the steering wheel off God.
Mm.
I preach simple ideas, you know, I don't know, no complicated. It's, and we end up somewhere, and God's got to then get us from where we've gone back onto the right road. Well, he doesn't just simply go zzz, zzz, you know, there is a journey back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
sometimes painful.
Yeah.
And it can be just as painful returning
yeah.
as it was getting off the way. Because you went over a few ruts and bumps and rivers and ditches, and coming back's going to be very similar if you're not. But God will bring you through. But it's, again, it's letting God work in our lives. So we need to be listening to God. It says here, come and hear, all of you who reverence the Lord, and I will tell you what he did for me. For I cried out to him for help, with praises ready on my tongue. He would not have listened if I had not had confessed my sins, but he listened. He heard my prayer. He paid attention to it. This is again David. This is David declaring in the Psalms that God listens to a repentant heart.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you and I, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 40 years ago, made a decision for Jesus and we repented of our sins, don't think that that was over and done with. Because every day, our sinful nature seeks to take control.
Oh, it does.
And therefore, we need to repent. We need to repent. You see, we get to a point where we think as Christians, well, I don't need to repent, I'm saved. Well, you need to repent to stay holy, to stay righteous.
Yeah.
It's like silver, if you want. If you don't use silver very much, you'll find it tarnishes. Needs cleaning.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, needs cleaning. If you use it, you find it, it don't tarnish.
Mm. Only when you save is when you get deeper into Christ.
Say that again.
Only when you save is when you get deeper into Christ.
Well, that's right, but it's got, you've got to get all the way.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I think the only time, and the only time when you really know that you're safe and that you've got deeper into Christ, you'll not be living on this earth.
That's true.
You'll be like Enoch walked with God, and then God said, "You've walked this come far." He says, "Come on, just keep up, keep coming," and disappeared. Yeah. So God wants us at that point. Don't get me wrong; I totally agree with you. God wants us at that point, and I believe at some stage that can happen, because the Bible tells us that the saints who've gone on before, who've died and gone on before, they're not yet perfected. They are waiting for our perfection here on earth. That's the teaching. The problem is, everybody's waiting to get to heaven to be perfected. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that there is a process right now that goes on every day in my life, a day, a processing of perfecting you and I every day. And so that process goes on, because God, I believe God wants to, one man, Enoch, walked with God so much that he got to a point of perfection in God. Jesus, we know, was perfect. Moses was another man that was mighty in God. And we have to realise that the power of God changes people. But again, we have to connect with the power of God and allow the power of God to work in us. If you don't allow, if you don't go with God, you'll not see the power moving.
No.
I ride a motorcycle. One of the things you have to learn to do is, when you're going round a bend, is to go with a motorcycle. If you're a pillion on a motorcycle, if you don't go with a motorcycle, you will upset its balance. And you will cause an accident. I want to remember, I had a scooter years ago. I had a friend who used to race push bikes. And we were going to college together. And we were going around, and the first time I took him on the back of the scooter, we went round, had to go around these two 90 degree bends. The first bend was okay. The second, the left-hander, we went round and the scooter did not go all the way around properly. And I'm leaning over as far as I can go. And I'm wondering, why am I on the wrong side, on the left-hand bend, on the wrong side of the road? And I happened to just glance up and he sat the other way and he's countermanding what I'm doing. Well, lorries came down that road and it was a blind corner. So I pulled up, got off the scooter, made him get off the scooter. I dressed him down. I told him, I said, if I lean to the left, you lean to the left. If I lean to the right, you lean to the right. I said, if you ever do opposite to me again, that will be the last time you ride on the bike. I mean, I thought this guy knew what he was doing. Do you know, every time we went round that corner, just about after that, there was always a truck coming the other way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a killer. If you're not flowing, we're back to going in unity, that when the people dwell together in unity, you've got to be in unity with the motorcycle, you've got to be in unity. When Grace rides on the back of the motorcycle, she's not sitting up thinking, oh, she's just got to sit there and be part of the vehicle. I'm going to throw it through the bends. And if the pegs hit the floor and sparks come off the back, that's it. That's what we do. And it's happened, and we just throw the bike in and come out the other side. And Grace will think, we were over a long way then, weren't we? Yeah, we were. But by staying as one, the thing is in unity. It's in balance.
Mm.
It's stable and it's strong. The moment that you throw it out of, it causes all sorts of problems. And same spiritually, you have to stay in oneness with the Spirit of God. Stay in oneness with the Word of God. Psalm 66, verses 16 to 20. Blessed be God who didn't turn away when I was praying and didn't refuse me his kindness and love. This is, again, one of the Psalms of David. And he's rejoicing in what God has... 66, verse 16 says, come and hear all you who fear God. God wants to speak to you. Come, all of you that fear God. God wants to speak to you. That's a fact. God wants to have fellowship. We go back to the Garden of Eden circumstances, situation. God always wants to speak to his people. God always wants to speak to you. Prayer and fasting is to begin to tune you in spiritually so that you hear God clearly. I cried aloud to him and he exalted my tongue. I cherished iniquity in my heart and the Lord would not have listened. So what he's saying there is when we cleanse ourselves, God will listen. If we don't cleanse ourselves and we've got wrong things in our heart and our life, God ain't going to listen to us, basically, is what David's saying. Because God is his spirit and God is pure spirit and God is not sinful, he's totally sinless. And so if we're carrying sin in our lives, God's not going to listen to us. You see, it's about you and I getting very close to God. It is similar to the process, shall we say, of when you refine silver. And to get really pure silver, it has to be melted and cleansed 7 times. And they put it into the furnace and the kiln and they melt it and they clean off all the rubbish off the top. Every time the rubbish floats to the top. Always comes to the surface. And if you've got, you'll find out when the pressure comes on, when the heat comes on of life, the rubbish comes to the top. And you find out a true person what they're like when the pressure's on. You find out whether they really love Jesus. You find out whether they really want to go on with God. Or whether they're just faking it. Because the rubbish will always come to the surface. And you will find out what somebody's like. When pressure comes on, you find out what a person's really made of. Are they made of slag, which is the impurities of life in the metal? Are they made of the impurities of the world? Or are they made of refined silver? And all these are all... these are natural terms that we work with as well as being spiritual terms. And so the refining process goes on as we allow God at times to put us through some difficult times. And just because we go through some difficult times does not mean that there's something that we've done wrong. But it means that there's something, maybe from our past, that God is saying, I need to get hold of that. I need to get that out so that I can bring you to this point of pureness. Because I have a task for those that are pure and holy. I have a purpose for those that are pure and holy. Wow.
I have a destiny.
That's right, it's like that. I have a destiny, it's the same type of thing. But the destiny is for the pure and the holy in God. Only that which is pure and holy will enter into the kingdom of God. And so part of what we're talking about, prayer and fasting, is to take us deeper into the things of God. It's dealing, part of the prayer and fasting really is dealing with you and me. It's not so we can get God to do something for us, because God is already willing to do it. It's about you and I getting ready to receive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's cleaning this vessel to receive the things that God has for us. You don't get a dirty, filthy, mouldy cup and think, oh, I'm going to put a nice fresh fruit juice in that, do you? And I'll give it to somebody. Nobody's going to drink it, are they? They're going to look at the outside of the cup and think, you are joking, aren't you? It's only cup. What I've put in is all right, yeah, but have you seen what the vessel's like?
That's new wine in old wineskins, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's this new wine in old skins, the type of thing. And so you and I have to realise that there is a process that God wants to deal with you and I. He's making us anew, right? See, the old skins have dried up, become brittle. And the moment you put something back into them, because they've become brittle, they've already cracked, they're going to leak. And so that's why you take a... God is wanting to produce new wineskins. So prayer and fasting is part of that development and process. In our prayers, confession, not only obvious sin, but less obvious ones as well. The sins of omission, as well as the sins of commissioned experiences. You know, sometimes we omit to do certain things when God's asked us to do it, and or the Word has expressly wants us to do something and we just ignore it. There are times when we, I suppose you could call it negative and positive sins, for want of a, things that we just can't be bothered to just let that slip by, and then we sort of look at it and say, well, I didn't really do anything. No, but you just chose to ignore it.
Like the prodigal son.
The prodigal son, yeah, I suppose that's a good analogy to come up with. The prodigal son, he just, one of them went on his way and committed his sins, the other one stayed and didn't really do anything wrong, but in the end he did. He everything was there for him, but he just omitted to take the advantage of it. So both is sort of sinful. And so the process is that we need to confess our sins before God. You know, there's a hymn, isn't there, on that Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Mm.
And it's important that we realise that God wants to create in each and every one of us a new heart and a right spirit. There are times when we've left our first love for God. And we've all done it.
Mm.
Let's be truthful. Sure. We've all, you know, lost that fire, that verve, that excitement when we first got saved that God birthed within us, and we've lost that love. Speaks in Revelation, in of the seven churches in Revelation, how you've lost your first love. You've become cold, lukewarm, and God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know, he doesn't want anything lukewarm, he wants it on fire. We become worldly minded. We're trusting in the world system, not trusting in God.
Yeah.
You know, the politicians get up and give a tremendous speech of what they're going to do. Do they fulfil it? And we start trusting in man instead of trusting in God. It's great to have Philip with us tonight. And I don't want Philip to trust me, because I'll let him down at some stage. But I want him to learn to find an experience and to trust God.
Mm.
And the issues and the problems that he has in his life are not going to be sorted out by a man's regime of organising. It's not going to be sorted out by a worldly situation and a programme. But if God is placed into the centre of it, God will sort it out.
Yeah.
Because he's always there. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's always there. The only problem when we can't find God is that we moved. Now, people find that difficult. I haven't moved. I haven't. You have. You must have. Because the Bible says God changes not. In other words, he's not moving from the position that he's in. And that position is absolute perfection.
Mm-hmm.
God's not moving from that. So when we say we can't find God or God's not listening to us, we've moved. We've moved.
He's not. That's your faith going then, isn't it? Because, you know, you can have a problem and you can think, you're going through this and why ain't God, you know, why ain't this getting better? Why? God's only going to do it in his own time.
You see,
you know, you want something, don't you?
That's right.
And you think, well, why is it taking so long?
Yep.
But then when you get it, you think, you look back and think, it's like these Bibles, what we were saying.
You see, there's not just you involved in your problem.
No.
We think there is. Like, for instance, when we're praying for somebody, why don't God change their mind?
Yeah.
God cannot do that.
He changes your heart. We change our mind.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Mm. See, salvation is offered right now to everybody today. Mm. So God's done all he can do about that now. It's this process now of people accepting that and changing that, beginning to change their mind.
You see, they lose their faith. You see, I've just said to people, where's your faith?
But this is
it. Where's it gone?
Yep.
You've got to have faith.
We lose faith because we don't feed faith.
Yes. Faith. We're not getting what we want all the time.
Yeah, what that? No, that's another topic, isn't it? Not getting what we want. That's the I. Might be better to say, like, what you it's not what we want. It's when I am not getting what I want. Right? That's what we say. The we softens it. But, but what we're really saying is, I am not getting what I want.
Yeah.
You see,
and
I has suddenly become the centre of all things. God has not moved, but you have.
Yeah.
God should be the centre, and then all of a sudden you replace God from being the centre and you become the centre, and you say, well, where's God? Well, God's not moved. You have. You have got to align yourself back with God. Simple.
I think you've got to understand, though, what actually faith means as well.
No, you haven't. Because that's not faith.
No, but... I've said it wrong, perhaps.
I know. Yeah, but
Do you know where I'm coming from?
I do.
What I'm trying to say.
You see, I do to a point, because you have to believe and trust God that no matter what's going to happen, He will take you through all things. But the only way that your faith is maintained is when you maintain this relationship with God, and part of that is the relationship of reading your Word. Faith and trust walk together.
You see, Satan can't work with faith at all.
There isn't a thing called faith in the kingdom of darkness.
No, there isn't. You see, that's something that
fear and doubt.
It's fear and doubt. That's anti-faith.
While ever you're with faith with God, even in bad situations, you see, God can work with you. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I was trying to say earlier on.
It's having the faith of God, and it's having faith in God.
Yeah.
Right, and it's in His Word. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Right. That doesn't mean to say you won't go through some difficult times, because in the trials and the tribulations, God wants to strengthen you.
Mm.
You see, when you grow plants. When you from seed, you grow them and you care for them gently and in warmth for a while, but then you have to harden the plants. You have to put them out and expose them to some elements. It's no different than you and I. Initially, when you get saved, you're protected, you're cosseted, and you're encouraged and everything. And then one day God says, oh, by the way, I'm just going to pop you out and expose you. So I'm going to harden you a little bit, because you need to have a sharp cutting edge. And in the hardening, you actually go back to your roots go deeper into the Word.
Mm.
Right? Because that's where you get your strength. That's where you get the heat. That's where you get the growth from. Right? That's what it's about. So faith has to grow.
Yeah.
And faith has to go through a process at times of being hardened. And it can be tough. And just because that's happening, don't turn around and say God's forsaken you, because you've just misquoted God. Because he said, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you.
When I am weak, I am strong.
And exactly. And so you have to remind yourself that scripture then says, when I am weak, then I am strong.
Yes.
Okay, so where have we got to in on? Okay. So worldly mindless. Self-centeredness, which we've just talked about. The I. Me. Everything has to revolve around me, doesn't it? You know, if it don't revolve around me, some people are like that. It all has to revolve around me. If it don't revolve around me, I'm not playing. I'll go and sit in a corner until everybody gravitates towards me. But that's not where God's going to do it. God wants you. The Bible says, go out. Jesus sent his disciples out. So what God is saying really is, you and I have got to be outgoing. You've got to move out and not draw back and say, everybody's got to come to me. You should be the one going out. How did you and I come to hear the word of God? Because somebody went out and told us.
Yeah.
Somebody went out and delivered the message. And you and I are saved to deliver that same message. It hasn't changed. The process has not changed. God hasn't said, I'm going to do it any differently. This is how I'm going to do it. And you say, well, I haven't got that confidence. I don't have that ability. Praying and fasting will assist you. Bring confidence, bring strength, bring wisdom, bring ability. Some people have a spiritual indifference. You know, they just come to church and float along, and I'm all right as long as I get my mark on a Sunday. I've been to church, you know. God's seen me in church. I'm sorry. All he's seen you in is a building. The world might say it's a church, but we could go and buy an old garage or an old warehouse and put Harvest Fields Christian Fellowship and say it's a church. That's right. So does then God look down and say, oh, look, they've all been to church. He could turn around and say, look, oh, look, they've all been to an old warehouse. So what does that make you?
We are the church.
Yes.
The people are the church.
Yeah,
that's right. The people are the church.
We are the
church. Yeah. But the problem is, again, you see, we've become brainwashed. Come to church, said to him, didn't I? Come to church. Use that phrase on him, didn't I? Because that's the world's thinking. But what I'm really saying is, come to the building where the church meets.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. You see, the church is made up, the Bible says, the church is made up of lively stones.
Yeah.
So each and every one of us is a stone. But we're alive. And when we come together, we erect the building, the body of Christ. We're the people of God. And we form the body of Christ, you see. So, we have to deal with spiritual indifference. Being lax and lazy. It's so easy to become lazy and think, oh, I can't be bothered, I'll leave it while another day. Another day goes by, and when that next day arrives, we become even more lax and lazy and leave it another day. We become then in, we start to become indifferent to the word of God, and the enemy is crouching at the door.
That's what he's doing.
Waiting for you to become indifferent.
Mm.
And then he says, oh, I can inflict sickness on this one. Mm. That's their weak point. Because the moment they become sick, they become depressed. The moment they become sick, they lose hope.
Yeah.
And so I can attack them. And so he looks for the weak point. What is your weak point is what the devil is looking for.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's going to lay it on that area.
These are just church goers as such. And they'll get some Sunday and they'll think, oh, I don't feel like it, so I don't think I'll bother. Or the weather's not good. I mean, I go to church quite a lot, as you know, and the only time I don't go, the only time the weather will put me off going is if I think it's going to be dangerous.
Mm.
But if it's unpleasant, then that won't put me off. Because when Jesus went to the cross for me, he didn't say, I'm not doing it today because it's raining, it's snowing, wind's blowing.
No.
I don't feel like I can't do it tomorrow when sun's out.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Fair weather Christians.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not fair weather Christians. And I've said, you know, even when you're feeling ill, and I must admit, I got home tonight, I've had an exhausting day today, actually. Not in what I've done, but it's just been a physically, well, an emotionally, mentally exhausting day. And I got home and I thought, I could give tonight a miss. Seriously, I could just say, I'm not coming tonight. But I'm here. And I'm not tired anymore.
No, you feel better.
I have been refueled
yeah,
by the word of God, by the presence of God and the presence of God's people. Mm-hmm. I've been re-energized.
Oh, man.
And God rewards for you.
And God rewards. So when I go home, I'll have to wind down from it now. I'll have to, you know.
Yeah. Well, it can be, you see, it's so easy. My mum's listened to me. I've been in conversation with my mum and I felt negative. I mean, well, last Saturday night we were in a conversation and I was saying, oh, I don't think I'm going to go to church, didn't I?
Mm.
I've talked about that and I weren't going to go on Sunday. And it's like, next day, you wouldn't have thought it were me who'd said that night before.
Mm.
You wouldn't have thought. I was thinking, I can't believe I thought that. But yeah,
that's the old nature.
Yeah.
That's the old man who's trying to rise up and rule and reign.
Yeah.
You see?
And I wanted to, like as if God, like I said, fired out at me that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Act on it, study that, and study what it means.
I say to folk, if you're feeling tired, feeling weary, not feeling well, best place you can be is with the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I'll tell you what, you'll be re-energized, re-equipped,
mm-hmm.
revitalised, and you'll go home and the devil says, what a waste of my time on that one. They're back to where they were. You know, I thought I'd got them pinned against the ropes, got them pinned on the canvas and just got them to the count of, I got one, two, all they needed to say is, I'm not going tonight now, and stay in and just pass that time, and it's three and I've got a submission from them.
But you see, what I was doing as well that night, when I was saying all this, I've got this in front of me, I'm looking at the words, so there's no wonder I woke up like I was, you see? Because it does it.
It does. Your confession is powerful. And this is what we're saying about the word of God, and what you say is important.
Yeah.
Now, just looking further on, and an unwillingness to share your faith in Christ with others. You need to be empowered to do that.
Mm.
You need to be empowered to do that. God wants you to do that because you came to faith, I came to faith, through somebody else doing that. Sharing the faith in Jesus Christ. To me. All right, mine was publicly. Yours was on a one-to-one. From Roy. And so you're alive today and well because of Roy. Because he passed on what he had received.
And what I needed.
And he gave you, by the Spirit of God, God gave you through Roy what you needed. Mm-hmm. And so this is important. Grace to you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
She'd been planning it. She'd had you in her sights for months. A gun was loaded, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen her. She got it out looking for you.
Well, actually,
it was Christine, were you?
I was feeling a bit on them lines.
I missed her. You know?
Yeah.
Until in the end, she's gonna get her. But this is the determination that you have to come about with. And lay the word of God on them. That's your responsibility. After that, you don't make the decision for them. Right? You're not responsible for the decisions they make. Your responsibility is that you lay the word of God on them.
Yeah.
Billy Graham lays the word of God on them. And then he says, then he'll put the challenge, what are you going to do with Jesus tonight? And he calls them out, come down to the front right now to receive Christ. Repent from your sins and receive Christ and make him the Lord and Saviour of your life. But he can't make him do it. He puts the gauntlet down, he lays the word on them, puts the challenge before them. Are they going to take up the challenge? That's the big question. And only they, as individuals, can answer that question.
So everybody in here today is going to make a decision tonight.
Absolutely.
For
that's
Jesus
true.
Or against Jesus.
Yep, for or against. And you know, thankfully, we made a decision for. Every one of us has been was challenged, and we had to make a decision at some stage in our life. What we were going to do with Jesus Christ. And so prayer and fasting will empower you, strengthen you, bring confidence into you in your ability to share your faith in Jesus Christ with other people. If you don't spend sufficient time in God's word and in prayer, and if you're having a, you know, that is not going to help you in that time with your relationships with other people, with sharing the word with other people, in your family relationships, husband and wives, children. Pastor needs to spend time in the word. Other members, we all have a responsibility, no matter what our position is in the church, to spend time in the word and to spend time with God. That's your responsibility. And when you do that, there will be a thriving, vibrant, growing church that is powerful, and the presence of God will be seen and the glory of God will be seen in the church. Prayer is a key. And I think at that time, I'm probably going to need to stop, I think. Amen?
Amen.
Have I given you enough tonight?